Welcome to Growing in His Word. God bless you guys, man. And, you know, last week was radical. There was two cleansing of the temples that are recorded in the Gospels. We talked about how buying and selling, the financial corruption that ran rampant in the actual outer courts of the temple, and even some of the gains that were realized from the profiteering probably went to the family of the high priests. This is what they did back then. They sold, bought, made a mockery out of Jesus Christ's temple. Jesus cleansed the temple last 2 weeks. We've been talking about that because he did it for 3 days from sunrise to sundown. And he actually was angry at these people doing this in the temple. They took the symbols. They accepted coins. They used the temple. They charged premiums for services. Basically, they were having all-you-can-eat buffets of convention centers. And they were charging money for events, allowing people to come in and be, swept off their feet. Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for the growing in his word, Lord. We know that you are in control. And we know that the world is going to be changed, because we know that all these false prophets are, you know, they're doing what they do, and they don't care, Father. And so today on Growing in His Word, we're going to talk about the reality of, you know, what it means to be a real believer. And God bless you guys. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we talked about the fig tree, and Jesus was hungry. We talked about the fig tree. Some say it represents Israel. A lot of people say that it, you know, it represents different things. But as we may know, we've seen Nathanael. When Nathanael was under the fig tree praying, Jesus, he heard his cries and his prayers. He knew what he wanted. And so last week we talked about how Jesus cursed the fig tree. Jesus Christ is going to judge all the false prophets and all the false pastors out there. You guys, listen, we talked about this last week. We talked about the pastors who out to actually have these conferences and they charge money to get in. So if you take $25, $30 and you charge and you add that times that by 5,000 people or just 3,000 people, well, what do you got? You got a lot of money. Well, we have to pay for the hotel. Yeah. Oh, $300 to rent the room out. This is a modern day temple cleansing, folks. This is what satisfies the false shepherds. We talked about that. This is part of the cleansing in the temple. This is part of what Jesus was talking about under the fig tree. This is what Pastor Chuck Smith said. He warned us that there would be false teachers, false prophecies, false things of the world. Billy Graham said it. Many wonderful pastors, leaders have said it. But their minds are warped. And so as we come to Matthew chapter 21, we left off last week where the question of Jesus' authority, doing all these things, and who gave you this authority? But Jesus answered in verse 24 and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And so they reasoned among themselves. They tried to trap Jesus. Last time they were trying to trip him up. And they were, besides selling stuff in the temple and all that, they were trying to trap him up. They were afraid that he was, you know, going to overpower them. And so they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, well, he will say to us, why didn't you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we don't know. We do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But here's where we left off last week. It's the parable of the two sons. Now check this out. It's amazing. But long and short on the recap, ministry is not about money. We're exiting this now. We're moving on to the parable of the two sons. And on a recap, real fast, we shouldn't, as pastors, live in money. The Bible's saying stop charging money for events. Stop making your ministry about money. Stop making your ministry about you. Get your eyes off yourself and get them on Jesus Christ. Stop, monetizing everything. This is what Jesus Christ is saying. Stop it. But see, that's that they're not going to stop, because it's they're part of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where Jesus Christ is talking about the corrupt churches and how they're part of that actual system until he returns. It's there. And we shouldn't get angry. We should just expose them. And that's what we're doing. We're not going to say names, because we don't need to say names as, you know, believers. We need to say, yeah, we know your fruit. You're not bearing any fruit. And that was part of Jesus's plan under the fig tree. They will tell you that the fig tree means something else, but Jesus was saying, you got no faith and you're charging money for everything. Go bear fruit now. Go bear the fruit, man. That's not what that means. Don't listen to him. He has no subscribers on his YouTube, really. He's only got 100 or whatever it may be, just to woo you away from the truth so you can get your eyes on the big show. But really, it's the small guys who are telling the truth. The Church of Philly. That's where Jesus, here when he reasons among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he basically disqualified them as leaders, spiritual leaders. And he will disqualify the leaders in the churches now that are disqualified. And you may say, wow, that's a trip. We didn't need money when you know, as a church going, we don't need money. It's not about money. It's about Christ. It's a satanic device when we get our eyes on money. It's a satanic trick. And that's why pastors, they start out good, but they don't finish, because they're demonized by their own money, their own rules, and they are not held accountable. And so therefore, Jesus here is saying, look, curse the fig tree, get some faith. You need to get it right. Don't doubt. You will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also you say to this mountain, be removed and cast it into the sea, and it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, and you will receive it. And so Jesus is saying, that's it. We're done with that. Okay? God's good, you guys, and he loves you, man. And, you know, I'm not sitting here bashing pastors. I'm just saying that it's not always about money. It's about Christ and love for one another. And 1 John talks about it. If you love somebody, you will love them in deed and in truth. That means that you will be there for them. The Bible is very clear about love, mercy, grace, forgiveness. That's number one. And, you know, you got to pray for these false pastors, especially if they make it always about one topic and only one topic. You got to pray for them. Because they need help. I mean, they're human. They can be restored. The parable of the two sons says in chapter 21, verse 28. But what do you think? A man had two sons. Okay, so you're married and you have two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it and went. Verse 30 says, then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? Well, of course we know which one went. Then he said to him, the first, Jesus said to them, surely I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believe him. And when you saw it, you did not afterwards relent and believe him. So here we're talking about the parable. So here we have the harlots. God wants the lowly. God is saying he wants the wicked to repent. They're the ones who did the work of God. Meanwhile, the leaders were out there milking the church and making conferences and making money. This is where Jesus is basically saying, look, I'd rather use the ones who went through hell and back than, and you know, they did the will. They're the ones who are obedient. Here we see the tax collectors and the harlots. These are the religious. Listen to this, man. This is crazy, okay? It's like a proverbial phrase, a proverb. But for moral probates, Jesus' phrase, enter before you, not only is it establishing that these people repent, the repented sinners would enter the further kingdom, it's also left that the doors open for the religious leaders to repent. And that's what I was saying. You can repent, you false leaders. You don't got to have conferences and charge all this money to get in. It does matter because you're taking money from God's pocket. And you're not even preaching the gospel. You're reading skits. I can see your eyes reading the skits on your little computer screens. You're not fooling me. Repent. But even the doors open for the religious leaders too. But even though the self-righteous leaders saw the example of repentant tax collectors and prostitutes, they refused to believe. Listen, oh, how dare you say I don't believe. Oh no, even Satan believes. I ran into a guy yesterday in the clinic and he's like telling me that Jesus is Satan. I said, man, get behind me. You're the devil himself. Get away from me. Trying to tell me that, oh yeah, it's that I'm confused. And, you know, he's refusing to even believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But, you know, he's claiming to be a Christian. It's so funny. You know, it's be careful, believers. What red flags always show up when money comes in the table. When always there's money, 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 money. Like that song, money, money, money. You know, Jesus is saying, I don't clearly want your money. This parable condemns the leaders' conduct. And clearly God delights in the brokenness of sinners, but also in the humble faith of the morally upright believers. Because the beginning here is the parables. It's the wicked vine dresser. It's presented in a language. Go read Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. But however, there's a difference in here in Isaiah. The vineyard and the provisions represented Israel here. The vineyard here illustrates God's kingdom. So we see the parable and how it's going to work out in the vineyard in verse 33, which is coming up now soon. But God's saying you can repent. And God uses prostitutes. He uses drug dealers. He uses people who are going through hell and back and they want to repent. And God will take these leaders if they repent. This not only happened 2,000 plus years ago, but it's happening today. So when you sign up for a conference, make sure you know what you're signing up for. When you're giving money to people on TV wanting to pray for you and you're in a wheelchair and you're really sick, be careful who you give the money to. I watched a show the other day, man. The guy was on TV doing the holy roll and healings. Poor guy was in a wheelchair, man. He was crippled. I got a bad back too. My spine's no good. Telling the guy he don't have faith because he can't stand up. You're kidding me. He don't have enough money? They'll help him stand up if he's got enough money. Yeah, it's amazing. These are the conferences they have, man. It's crazy. Well, the pump you up conference. You don't need to go to a conference to get pumped up. Read Revelation, Daniel, and read. Look at what's going on. It's only obvious. And here we have what I was telling you earlier, the parable of the landowner. It's in Mark also in Luke chapter 20 and Mark 12. Listen, verse 33 says, hear another parable. These are parables, man. They're not hard to figure out. Listen, well, I don't understand the Bible. Read it. Ask the Holy Spirit. Listen, watch. Holy Spirit, help us, Father. Right now, understand this parable. Listen. Well, I've been to college too, but that don't matter. The disciples were with Jesus for 3.5 years. They didn't go to college. Listen, hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. I bet these false pastors like this. Oh, let's buy all the properties now and rent it out and make money. Woo! God have mercy. Now, when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers, okay, that they might receive its fruits. Verse 35 says, and then the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stole another. Again, he sent another servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said nothing among themselves. This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. Oh, I know how that goes. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? The owner of the vineyard is God. You guys, are you ready for this? This is crazy. All you pastors, you better open your ears right now and listen to this. God plants the vineyard, homeboys, and he sets a hedge around it. Listen to me. Open your ears because hell is eternity for false pastors. The owner of the vineyard was God, and the vine dressers were the nation of Israel as God's people. Israel was to bring forth fruits in anticipation of God's coming kingdom. The servants represented God's messengers. The prophets who were so shamefully treated by the Jewish leaders. You need to listen. Hold on to your seats. This is the rejection of the Son, Jesus Christ. That was predicted in Psalms chapter 118. And the rejected stone is the Messiah who became the chief cornerstone, like the book of Acts. Basically, Israel rejected the Messiah. And believers, not all Israel rejected the Messiah. And Israel is a very beautiful country. It's my country too. Israel is a Jewish nation still. And will always be a Jewish nation. And Israel will always have a heart, a place in God's eyes. Because Israel is a radical, beautiful nation. Radically meaning they love people. They're a democracy. They are a very, very... they're the only democracy in the Middle East, as far as I'm concerned. They're the only place that helps, you know, Muslims, you know, and Christians, and they help treat everybody equally. They do. I mean, look at the news. Have you seen that? They do surgeries. An Arabic boy just, you know, had his head knocked off in an accident, and they sewed it back on. I mean, doctors in Hadassah Hospital. It's a very nice country. They were there for Syria when they were going at it, helping the children. Doctors on the borders letting Syrians come in and helping children. Israel is a very beautiful nation, but they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They're not messianic. So Jesus is saying, look, don't reject me. Don't reject me. They rejected my son. I love you, Israel. And even in the end, Jesus says, I have a plan for Israel. I have a plan for them. They're my beautiful chosen people. Baruch Hashem, this is what he's saying, man. He's saying, look, come to me. Don't reject me. And verse 41 says, they said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. A lot of churches try to take that verse and make it replacement theology, where they're saying, oh, Israel is now the Christian state. It's not, dude. As the surfer would say, it's not. Israel is a Jewish state and it will remain a Jewish state. God will just choose a lot of Israelis he wants and a lot of Israelis who don't. We don't need to say, oh, our church is now Israel. Oh, Israel, 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 Israel. Quit harping on Israel. Maybe if you'd leave Israel alone, they would, you know, consider wanting to sit down and having coffee with you. It's always Israel, isn't it? Isn't it always Israel? This is the replacement theology they're trying to do and off of this verse. And so we see, verse 42 says, Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is what the Lord is doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Like the book of Acts, man. They rejected Jesus Christ, the Son. That was predicted in Psalms 118. And the rejection of the stone is the Messiah who became the chief cornerstone for our sins. Listen. But it doesn't mean that the kingdom has been forever removed from Israel. Romans chapter 11 verse 26 talks about it. Like I said, Jesus is alive. And he loves Israel. There's nothing wrong with Israel. But quit making Israel your church. You're not the replacement theology here. And the way you can tell a church is always making it about, if that you can always tell how a church wants to do the replacement theology is by always talking about Israel. Putting them in the spotlight every weekend. Israel, Israel. And God's like, stop. How about Rome? How about, oh, I'm sure you'd love Rome. How about, you know, California? Or how about United States? Or how about, you know, Canada? Or Turkey? Or France? There's nations out there, man. Not always about Israel. Yeah, they rejected Jesus. We get it. It's like when a dog, you know, urinates and you act like they're, you know, you got to punish them for rejecting all the time. Here, eat it, rub its face in it. Like when somebody does something bad, you want to rub their face in it. It's tired. They're tired of it. It's not replacement theology on this verse. Listen. And I'm sorry, believers, this is going out to the pastors. A lot of these pastors know what I'm talking about. Today we're talking about, you know, we have to recap, and we're almost done with the sermon. And he was only talking about, Jesus was only talking about that rotten leadership at that time. That's it. He's not speaking for the whole Israel. It's another thing I don't like. Let's blame it on Israel. Yeah, that's fun. You know, my rabbi used to say, if you took us Jews to us Hebrews to Hawaii, all the Hebrews moved to Hawaii. That, you know, he was right. I'm sure they would nail Hawaii. Somebody would find some reason to come and blame Hawaii for something happening. It's always something goes wrong, blame it on us. You know, it's funny. Anyways, listen, therefore, verse 43 says, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it for a temporary time.
Here we are now, speed up the time 2,000 years later, and now Israel, believers are being saved there. There's Messianic Jews. I'm a Yehudi, but I'm Messianic too. And the nation's bearing the fruits of it, and whoever falls on the stone will be broken, but whoever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Okay? And you're talking about, the powder is talking about the reference to Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. The powder is, you know, if you take this is the stone, okay? A person may be broken with repentance as a result of falling on Christ, but however, if a person refuses to repent, the result is judgment. And so the reference to the powder looks like back to Daniel chapter 2, okay? And so here we see verse 45 says, you know, and he's saying you can repent. It's that easy. But now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. They misrepresented him. He's God. He's Jesus. He is our Father. He is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the awesome forgiver. He's merciful. He's loving. He loves everybody. He hates sin. He is perfect. He came in human form. He was 100% human and 100% God. He died for our sins. He came through. He's innocent. His blood was given for our sins, and it's awesome because everybody's invited to take part of this. Now we're seeing the beautiful triumph of Israel now today, how beautiful they are and how far they've come. We see so much positive influence right now in our, in not only Jesus's work, but the work in us. This is what he wants. He wants us to focus on love and mercy and forgiveness. He's saying, look, come into my vineyard. Water my plants. This is what he's saying. Water it with love. Watch these grapes, fruits just grow. Relax, calm down, sit, eat my fruit, the Lord says. Take of me. Let me love you. Let me show you my mercy. I'll have compassion on who I will have compassion on. And Jesus Christ loves Israel. God loves Israel. God loves everybody. He wants us all to turn from our sins and follow him and keep our eyes on Jesus. That's all he wants. It's real simple. You don't got to buy your way in. You don't got to buy your way into the kingdom. You don't got to go to the conferences to get in the kingdom. But they're fun. Well, they're fun for the false pastors. You don't got to spend money to get saved. You don't have to go tithe money to get saved. Although God wants you to tithe 10%, but he doesn't force you. His law is love now. We are under the love and grace of Jesus Christ. If you sin today and you said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. I'm a false pastor. I want to change my ways. I don't want to do the money charade parades. And God will take you right now and he will forgive you. Pastor, are you there? Listen, pastors, are you there? Pray with me, pastors. Father, I'm a sinner. The devil got the best of me, Lord. I ask that you forgive me for my sins and help me change my ways. Lord, I want to teach your word the way you want me to teach it, Father, verse by verse. And Lord, I want you to be glorified. I want to decrease, Father, while you increase. Forgive me for my sins, Lord. In Jesus' name, I repent today. Amen. Listen, pastors, if you've done that, you're no longer a false pastor and you can start a new day and get back to the basics. Get back to the love and mercy and the calling of Jesus Christ, what you were really called for, and that's to serve others. Serve others. And lastly, serve yourself, because it's about others. If you do that, Jesus Christ will bless your ministry.
If you quit taking people's money, Jesus Christ will bless your ministry. If you let God bless you and love you, you will be protected by the Lord. Father, we thank you for this growing in this word, Lord. We pray, Lord, now that by your mercy and grace, you bless all the people in all the world. We thank you for these parables because it's true. You're the vine dresser, Lord. We're just your vessels. And without obedience, Father, we're nothing. So today, Father, we ask that you come, Lord, clean our vines, Father. Renew our minds, our spirit, and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys, and thank you for logging in to Growing in His Word. Growing in His Word was, you know, is led by the Holy Spirit and powered by Jesus Christ. We don't take donations. We don't accept donations. We don't accept money. We're not a 501c3, and we ask that you donate to your local homeless shelter, or you donate to your local neighbor who's hungry, or give to someone that the Lord puts on your heart today. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and let His face shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.